KCSM, San Mateo, San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose. K214CS, Sonoma, and K216FV, Concord. The Bay Area's jazz station.
You're listening to the Bay Area's Jazz Station, member support in FM 91 KCSM. We opened on the other side with a brand new one by the Yellow Jackets entitled 25, and the track Run for Your Life, that one written by Bob Mincer, with Russell Ferrante on piano and the synthesizers, bassist Jimmy Haslip, Bob Mincer tenor, and the drumming of Marcus Baylor, making up the Yellow Jackets, 25 for 25 years. And this went out on Heads Up Records for the prolific group Yellow Jackets. And then we followed that up with music by our guest in studio. That's guitarist and composer Terrence Brewer from his latest recording called The Calling. And he's got two volumes, and this one from volume number one, and a track called Ray of Hope, featured Ben Storolo on piano, bassist Ravi Abkarian, and drummer Micah McLean. And we should mention that Terrence Brewer will be touching down with a CD release Thursday night over at Jazz at Pearl's. That's next week on Thursday, located at 256 Columbus in San Francisco. Two shows that night, one at 8 and 10 o'clock. And he'll be featuring the same musicians that we heard on that particular cut called Ray of Hope. Takes us to 9 minutes past 1 o'clock, Midday Jazz here on KCSM. Good afternoon. I'm Chris Cortez. And wanted to remind you quickly that KCSM would not be here without our listeners and our members who support us with over 70% of our funding. So thanks so much if you're an individual who contributes to this station. Thanks so much for keeping us on the air and allowing us to continue the tradition of broadcast jazz 24/7, 365 days a year. Right now, we'd like to welcome guitarist and composer Terrence Brewer to the studios at KCSM. What's up, my man?
Not a whole lot, Chris. I'm very happy to be here, so thanks to you guys for having me in studio.
I'm very happy to have you as well. And the new release, you know, as I mentioned when you walked in, it's so hot. It's new to me. And I had just got to listen to it the last couple of days, and I've been very impressed with your chops, my man. Some real nice writing, too.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. I've spent a little bit of time, putting those chops together. So I'm happy to hear that from you. So it's a great experience. So,
and I assume you're from the area, from the
I'm from the East Bay originally. Actually, grew up in Pittsburgh, California. Went to grade school and high school there. Mm-hmm. So, and then attended Los Bananas College out there in Pittsburgh. Got the great music program out there. So, East Bay product for the most part. So
yeah, and most recently you've been heading your own groups. But prior to that, you've cut your teeth playing with some pretty phenomenal folks.
Yeah, when I was, I got the chance at Los Abdonas to work with some really good artists. Pete Escovedo came through and, great teacher, great mentor. And we got the chance to work with him and, you know, sort of large ensemble and also small group ensembles. And he was very, very generous to us all and taught us a lot about music and writing and rhythm and also about the business side of it. So it was a great experience. And that, you know, also during that time got the chance to play with Bruce Foreman, obviously very well renowned guitar player, and he helped me out a lot with just understanding the instrument a little bit better and trying to put those chops together, and great teacher. So
as a musician these days, I mean, having the skills on your instrument is of course very important, but also the skills of knowing the business.
Sure,
it's very important as well. And you're pretty much immersed in that, doing this day to day.
Yeah, more importantly probably sometimes is the business aspect. You know, I kind of joke with people sometimes, you know, I went to school for music, but really probably should have went to school for business.
Exactly.
That's what gets it done. You know, there's a lot of great players out there who never really get the recognition, and some of that's from the business aspect. And there's a lot of sort of musicians that, you know, don't have quite the chops, but, you know, become world famous. And a lot of that has to do with how you can market yourself and make sure the right people get the chance to hear you and hear where you're coming from. So it's all important.
Yeah. What kinds of things did Pete Escovedo mention to you?
That
you can say over the radio.
Yeah. His main thing with us was, especially at that age, you know, coming of age, was really just to play with passion, you know, and how important it was to obviously have the technical aspect of the music down, but also to be passionate about what you do, because you're going to experience those ups and downs. And, you know, so from a mentor standpoint, that was tremendous for us to hear a guy like him come in and talk to us about that and really kind of put it down for us. So yeah. and we really appreciated it.
Yeah, Pete doesn't sugarcoat anything.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So who wants to make money here? Everybody raises their hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you're in the wrong business.
Exactly. That's it.
Well, so. You mentioned passion, and that is very important when you play this music. And I hear that passion in your writing, you know, and you seem very young to me.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I'm glad that I seem young to you, but I've been around for a little bit. You know, it's sort of interesting. You know, a lot of people have asked me, you know, sort of about putting out two projects at the same time and different things like that. And, you know, part of it is, you know, one of these records I probably could have made in my earlier mid-20s. You know, I had some of the songs and I've been writing for years, but, you know, finances and different things just didn't quite come together. So they didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But I've been around, you know, for 10 plus years, you know, sort of playing, you know, the clubs and restaurants and coffee shops and some festivals here and there and doing that and mainly as a leader, but up until now didn't have sort of a big cohesive, you know, project that I think, you know, adequately represented what I did. So yeah. Now that project is here and, you know, a lot of people are sort of like, well, where have you been? You know, or kind of heard the name, but you know, sort of where are you coming from? But I've been there. I've been kind of just, you know, doing the blue collar thing, working.
Sure,
you know. Need a day so job. Yeah, mm-hmm. Doing it. So
that's great. Terrence Brewer is our guest in studio. I'm Chris Cortez. It's Midday Jazz, and you mentioned there are two releases. There's Volume 1 and Volume 2. And
correct.
You did not wait to release these. You actually just put them both out at the same time, didn't you?
Yeah, my initial plan was to record one album this year and then record another album next year, sort of closely followed by one another but at different times. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things just started coming together for me, and I have a lot of compositions, so I sat down with, you know, basically probably close to 100 or over 100 fully worked out, fully completed compositions.
Wow.
And started picking and choosing songs for the first recording, and then I said, okay, well, here's another pile that would be really great with an organ group. You know, here's another pile that'd be really great with a Latin group. So I had all this music, and I started looking at my budget a little more, and well, if I sort of stretch here and stretch there, I can
right.
maybe make this work and maybe make that work. And then for the Volume 2 project, it just so happened, like, I'm good friends with Derek Phillips, who most notably been on the road with Charlie Hunter for the last 5 years, and happened that he was coming into town that December with Charlie to do their annual Yoshi's thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and he was really happy to be a part of the record. So I said, well, you know, I'm just going to make the second record right now and put them out at the same time. And, you know, and so really the consistent thing is, that, you know, I'm on the record, I wrote the music, but right. they're two completely different stylistic things, completely different compositions and, you know, different concepts. So
yeah, that showcases your two different personalities.
multiple different personalities, sometimes from song to song.
Right. So now, Terrence, you mentioned at that point when you started recording your albums, you had over 100 compositions in your book already. When did you begin writing?
I started writing probably late high school, early college. I was, you know, like a lot of players sort of in junior high and high school, I was influenced obviously by, you know, Parker and Miles Davis and John Coltrane and all that stuff. And when mm-hmm. I was about 14 or 15, I think I heard my first sort of Lee Morgan record, you know, and Wayne Shorter record, and picked up sort of those, you know, Adam's Apple and things like that.
Yeah.
And Delight, you know, Delightfully and things like mm-hmm. that. And I really started getting into the composer players, you know, the players yeah. who were really known for that. And, you know, Wayne and Herbie and Horace Silver and all those guys really, really hit me.
Yeah.
And so I just, you know, with no concept really or a basic concept of writing, I just started writing back then and, you know, had the chance to play with people and kind of work stuff out in the bandstand a little. And then that evolved when I got to college and actually was able to take some composition courses and learned a lot more about theory, obviously, but was still in a situation where I had plenty of guys who were willing to play my tunes.
Right.
So, you know, that's where it started. And I really got hooked on composition at that point and just right. continued to do it. So,
wow. So before you had any formal training, you had the innate ability already to.
Yeah, I just. Yeah, I did.
That's great.
And not only the innate ability, but I really had the desire, you
yes.
know, and more so than anything. So I didn't know what I was doing some of the times early on. I just did what sounded good.
In retrospect, when you listen to those tunes, mm-hmm. Are you pleasantly surprised?
Well, it's interesting because actually some of the compositions on these records have been around but have morphed themselves as I've learned a lot more about writing and a lot more about composition and theory. So some of the tunes, you know, are as old as 8 years old, but through, you know, several revisions over the years, adding things, subtracting things, and making them a little more hip harmonically and doing some different things. So, I was kind of surprised when I listened back to some of them, you know, I thought, wow, that's a pretty good tune. If only I changed something here.
Yeah, but they stood the test of time.
They did, at least in my mind, they did, you know. So, and I just took them and worked them a little bit more.
Great. Let's check out some more music by Terrence Brewer. This time, we're going to go to Volume 2 from The Calling.